I'm not going to talk to them for the next 24 hours. I'm going to post something on Snap and on my IG story so they know that I'm doing something. Yes. But I don't, you know, like these like
psychological games.
So for today's episode, Dating Struggles Part 2, we will be talking about miscommunication and avoidance. So again, how are you?
I'm okay. I was feeling way energetic this morning and then I feel like it's just coming down.
How much caffeine did you take in?
Because I've been drinking this amount of coffee. I don't know. How are you doing?
It's like thing after thing after thing after thing.
After thing after thing after thing after thing.
Yo, always, all the time. And it's like different realms. I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is what I have to do for school, work. And then I'm like, all of a sudden with the Swiffer in my hand, cleaning the office.
It's finances.
Crazy. Finances. Adulting. Relationships.
Yeah.
Hair.
Woo.
Everything. Everything. So it's been a little overwhelming. I don't know when things are going to slow down, but one task at a time, and we'll see what takes us to the end of February, because it's crazy that it's already the 17th.
Listen, in 2 weeks, it's over.
Two weeks, 11 days.
11 days. Wow.
11 days. That's crazy. So, you know, I think we should just delve into today's topic. Yeah. So, you know, oftentimes, especially when we grow up in whatever household we do, we learn how to cope with emotions in certain ways, and we learn how to communicate in certain ways with people around us. We learn what's the proper way to communicate in that context. We learn how to not communicate, what to not do, how you perceive people, what that means about your relationship. So I think we should delve into that. So like growing up, what do you remember about communication and emotions and stuff like that in your family?
Communication and emotions in my family. We didn't talk about them. We didn't really talk about them. And I feel like I can only speak for myself, right? So I feel like for me and my specific family dynamic, for it being that it's a situation where like my mom is actually my aunt, and I had to come face to face with that, like being in high school and being in the same grade as like my brothers / cousins, me coming home and telling her like, well, I don't know what to do when kids are asking me like, are you their sister or their cousin? And she was kind of like, just don't pay attention to it.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, this is something that I have to deal with every day. Like not paying attention to it is not helping me, you know what I mean? It's not helping me navigate it.
And the thing is, you were like really, really young at that time, and there's so much confusion. And to not have that adult to kind of walk you through what to expect or what to do, you're kind of left like scrambling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think we learn a lot of things from like our dynamic with our family, with our parents. And so what I would literally do is every time I'm faced with that situation, I would not take a class, or I would try to not take the same classes as them, to not be put in that situation.
Yeah, so
avoidance to the max.
Wow. So you wouldn't be interrogated.
Exactly. Right? So
yeah, I find that I went through that same experience of kind of like dismissiveness, like not how to deal with the problem head on, but how to put it to the side and how it really doesn't matter sometimes. Right.
But this is like, I'm coming to you with something so emotionally complex that I'm still trying to figure out myself.
Right.
And for you to dismiss it or to tell me, actually, you should just avoid it. Like, that's not
helpful
in how to navigate the world, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes, like, that's the dynamic with, like, parents. Like, just, you don't know how to handle it. And so you're telling me to just not deal with this thing, right? And we learn so much from them.
And on a similar note, I think I dealt a lot with that dismissiveness too. I grew up in a household where both of my parents actually worked quite a bit, so they weren't really home. So a lot of different things I had to kind of think about and navigate on my own, because when we would connect on the weekend and certain evenings, it was more so about, oh my God, like my parents are home and I love them so much. So mm-hmm. we're kikiing, we're laughing, and problems aren't as prominent. And then I go back to being alone and I'm like, oh wait, like all those issues are still mm-hmm. there. And it's not like they, I love you, mom and dad, but it's not like they made that effort to check in to see how yeah. I was doing internally. Like it was right. always like an external way of assessing
how so are you grades, doing in school,
yes, how right. you doing in schools, parent teacher evaluations, that mm-hmm. stuff. But it was never an internal, oh, are you sad, mad, angry, depressed, hopeless, mm-hmm. You know, disappointed, ashamed, embarrassed, like it was none of that. So right. I think that I kind of learned over time that I don't really have to pay attention to my internal.
Yes. And I feel like that's where like maybe a journey with like emotional loneliness of mm. this, right? I'm going to be this little adult at a very young age because, right, right, if my needs aren't being met, maybe I can meet other people's needs, right?
Mm. Yeah. And I think for me, what was interesting enough was that instead of in not knowing how to deal with emotions as they came up, mm-hmm. I would eat my emotions. Mm. So eating was very soothing for me. Mm-hmm. So instead of being, you know, sad that I was being bullied, go home, eat. Mm-hmm. Whenever I could eat, lots of sugar. Eating was like my coping mechanism. Right. And it's actually caused quite a bit of, you know, health issues because mm-hmm. that was my go-to coping mechanism. But I think something as simple as, if my parents were more involved in terms of, you know, asking me questions about my day or unpacking things that I've been through or giving me little ways to kind of cope with these situations, I wouldn't have felt as alone and maybe I wouldn't have turned to like food. And honestly, I'm not putting any blame on them or villainizing them because they mm-hmm. were doing the best they could with what they had. So yeah. I'm not trying to, you know, talk bad about them at all, but mm-hmm. I am recognizing that little kind of nuanced interactions in relationships with other people can really shape tremendously. Like it could right. it could shape your interpersonal landscape tremendously and then dictate how it is that you involve yourself with other people. So for example, I was so emotionally avoidant that when I was in a distressing situation or had to deal with distressing people, avoidance was my go-to. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I couldn't confront people. Right. I felt very anxious doing things as simple as making phone calls and talking to strangers.
But what?
It made me nervous because I had some social anxiety because of the bullying. Mm-hmm. So instead of like sitting with that anxiety and pushing through it, mm-hmm. I would kind of like give into that avoidance of this is uncomfortable, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
For a while. That was my life for a while. My life looks really different now.
Right.
But that's a whole other story. Right. That's a whole other story. So let's go through the emotions a little bit. So when you were sad, mm-hmm. how did your family navigate that? Or how did they teach you to navigate sadness?
How did they teach me to navigate sadness? I'm not sure if they did.
Let me just sip my tea.
Oh. And right, like I love my parents and I love my family, mm-hmm. but I don't think they even knew how to navigate something like that. It's kind of like get over it. Mm-hmm. Like something happened, right? And it's like, okay, it's been some time now, like get over it. And so I feel like I am. I am like a master at shutting down. Mm. Like you will not know what I'm going through until like maybe months after they'll be like, oh yeah, that happened. Like I process things internally by myself.
I can tell when you're in your mode though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, it's not like a regular disconnection. Right. It's like extreme shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like even emotions like happiness are shut down.
Just shut down completely.
Yeah,
like that's windows.
But yeah, so in terms of sadness, I think for my family, it was like mockery. It was almost like sadness was to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. I remember crying once, and instead of like, oh, like, I'm sorry you're crying, like, let's work on this together, it was like, why are you crying? Oh. Sometimes even mocking me for crying, like pretending to cry, and just really shaming me and making me feel like I'm doing something bad, or that listen, I'm a bad person for having my... I remember there was just this one time I was on a road trip. I started crying in the car because I was getting yelled at. And instead of like, oh, I'm sorry, like explaining why the situation was the way it was, it was like a like mocking me as I was crying. I was like, what the hell? Like,
but it's almost like it's mockery, but it's almost like this, and I don't know if this is specific to Haitian parents. And again, we love you. But it's like this, why are you crying?
Right.
And then it's like, I'll give you something to cry about. Oh, goodness. And then it's like, you're looking at them in the eyes and they're like, don't look at me. And then you look away and they're like, look at me. And you're like, I don't know what you want from me. What do you want from me?
I didn't go through all that. That's another level of confusion.
It is. And that's, it's kind of like normalized.
Yeah, so sad. I wouldn't say sadness was ever handled well. So I think that's when I learned that.
As a kid.
Yeah, as a kid. Like, when you're going to be sad, just do it by yourself. Like, just go to your room, close the door, lay down, put the covers over your head, and be sad. Cry there. Mm-hmm. Because it's safer there than it is with them to
cry. That's why, I mean, like, I don't know if they even knew how to handle.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, like, even if you did something, you know, deemed bad or wrong, but it was automatically like, let's not pay attention to the emotions. Mm-hmm. Let's pay attention directly to what the consequence of that action is.
Right. A very like action oriented way of kind of navigating life, but not really ever delving or trying to understand like the motivation, the internal self and what's going on for the child. And I would say that, you know, I respected my parents so much for putting aside the time that they did to work and make sure they made a living in Canada for sure. I guess my little self did wish that there was some type of adult to look up to guide me through all of these different things. Mm-hmm. How was anger handled in your family?
I think it's very similar to what you just said. As a kid, you're not allowed to be angry.
You're not allowed. It's almost like they get more aggressive towards you
being angry.
Or having any type of assertion.
Exactly. You can't.
You can't be assertive.
Who are you?
You don't pay these bills.
Yeah, but as, you know, as a, so then I feel like in turn, later on as an adult, it's like you internalize all of that. And so you don't show anger.
Or you struggle with confrontation, especially with higher ups or people you deem to have more power or authority.
Even when you're in the right. So it's this...
constant fear.
Right. And...
I think I remember this one time where I tried to even have a civil conversation about how I had experienced my parent when... I was younger,
right?
And I was stating like, I know you did everything you could for the family. And I know you're very supportive in a lot of different ways. And I told them, but emotionally, you weren't there in a way that was conducive to my mental health and well-being. That's how I said it. And I think I was like 17, 18 at the time. I remember I was mopping the floor and I was just talking to my parent as I was mopping the floor saying these things. Their response was, you're so ungrateful. You want to outline everything I don't do. So that guilt tripping began. And I remember feeling sad, but in that moment I was like, I'm at peace because I said my piece.
Right.
Because
that's so powerful.
Because you didn't take it in.
That's on you.
That's on you. That's not my fault. But I know what I experienced, how I experienced it, and how it impacted me lifelong. Whether you want to recognize it or not, that's up to you. And I think that they internalize that as me saying that you're a bad parent. And I'm like, and those words never came out of my mouth. I told you that you supported me in all of these amazing ways. But at the same time, we're human. We all have areas for growth.
But it's almost like remembering things that happen and this like everything, like we were good, everything was positive. And it's like, well, no, like I experienced this as well. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of like pushback when it comes to like, you guys worked very hard for us, but at the same time, emotionally, you weren't there. And it's like, no, it didn't happen that way. And it's like, well, that was my
experience.
But it's almost like you're not allowed to have an experience of it.
That's different from what they,
they
want it to be.
Right. And on that subject, when it comes to, I wouldn't even say confronting, but just stating an opinion, my experience has been that like, you can only discuss something for a certain amount of time with someone who's older than you. That's how like my family, like the culture of my family, like at some point as the kid, you have to back down. And I feel like that's kind of toxic. Like if I'm talking to my grandma and she is clearly wrong, like if she's saying like the sky is red, at some point I have to back down as the kid.
Even though the sky is blue.
And so, and I think it comes from this, like, respect your elders and all of, and I'm like, I get it, but there's the truth though.
And that almost in part teaches you to make yourself smaller so that you can keep peace in relationships. And sometimes you risk causing conflict for having an opinion. And that's a natural part of being human. And I've worked with so many people who have internalized that kind of respect for authorities to the point where they're willing to engage and think and feel things that aren't truly them.
Or rejecting their own truth.
Rejecting their own truth because of the imposition of this other truth onto them that they don't kind of identify with at all. And it's so sad to see people in that position.
It really is.
So anyways, that was family stuff. Anything else that's noteworthy? I think I spoke about what needed to be spoken about in terms of the family stuff.
You learn a lot as a kid and from these dynamics with your family. And you feel like you do internalize some of it into your like adult relationships.
Listen to this.
She's pushing me right now.
You'll listen to this.
Low key, I'm going to make a little parenthesis. When you almost pushed me yesterday and I almost...
My bad. I play too much. But like, it's like Hakuna Matata up in this. I'm like twice your size. I should not be pushing you. I apologize.
What were you going to say?
So, one of the most... It was a huge mindfuck. I'm not even going to lie. In my interactions with my parents, if I spoke back, if I tried to assert myself, they would say, oh, you have no place to do that. And they could kind of rob that assertion from me. And then they would be like, oh, why aren't you confident?
And you're like,
what the hell?
You're like,
why is it that when you're in public, you're nervous around people? Why is it that you feel nervous when you talk to people
and
you can't look them in the eye? You walk with your head down. I wonder why,
ma'am.
Are they serious? I remember I remember this vivid day where I was walking in the mall, my head down. I had such poor self-esteem, bullying, family, all that type of stuff. And my mom was like, put your head up. She was like walking behind me in the middle of this mall, bro. Like yell, put your head up. Like stare. Like
a surgeon.
Trying to yell at me to be assertive. We got home and I was like, you're a bully to her face.
How did she take that?
I don't remember what was said, but
were bold.
I remember she was angry. But I'm like, I'm speaking my truth here. You are bullying me. You're not supporting me in a way that's helpful for me. You're putting me down and asking me why I'm not standing up.
Right.
I was like, don't do that shit.
Don't do that.
So I learned how to be myself by separating myself
from
that family unit psychologically.
Right.
I was I have to be my own person. I have to choose my own things. But that was like the most like confusing thing for me. Mm-hmm. Don't talk back, but be confident when you go out into the world. You're teaching me about confidence and you're taking it away from me. How am I supposed to have it?
Don't want you to do both.
Anyways, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, you made me think about two things.
Okay.
Quickly. Let's hit it. So one of them, I'm trying to remember now. One of them being, have you ever seen my mom would do this thing where if she's mad, she doesn't say that she's mad, but you feel her being mad around the house. Doors are slamming, objects are being dropped on the floor, and you're like, are we not gonna talk about the elephant in the room of you being mad? And it's like, no, but you feel it. And I feel like you end up internalizing a lot of that. And my second thing was, now I remember what you said about your mom. I feel like my thing was like, why don't you guys come and talk to us?
Cute.
Or like literally doing these low-key interventions of walking into your room and saying, we need to talk to you. Why can't you come to us? Why do you not share things about your life with us? And you're kind of like, ma'am,
we both know that if I tell you shit,
you wouldn't be able to take it in.
Or you would lecture me.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody want to be lectured. I'm just trying to share my life with you, but you feel so inclined to judge.
Right.
So, yeah.
So it's like
Hey, let's talk about how all of this we just spoke about manifests
in
romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, where do you want to start?
Yo, let's start with avoidance. Oof. So we spoke about how, you know, when it comes to emotions and how we were kind of programmed to kind of avoid them and avoid conversations about them. How has that manifested in your romantic relationship?
Avoidance. I don't know. I feel like for some time, just when it comes to difficult conversations, you don't go there. You don't go there. You just sweep it under the rug. Mm-hmm. You'll get to it at some point. Some point never comes. And it's like just the way that you move into this world, right? Not speaking about things.
I remember in my first big romantic relationship, I would feel things like hurt, disappointment, sadness. Mm-hmm. I didn't even sit there and think about what I was feeling. All I know is that I was upset. And then in feeling that, I wouldn't even know how to recognize what or why I was upset in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was always an afterthought. It was always when I reflected on the situation that I understood why I was reacting a certain way.
Right.
But in the moment, I never really understood what was going on for me. And I remember it was so hard for me to communicate what my internal experience was. And even when I found the words, it's almost like I was ashamed to communicate.
To say it out loud.
And they were the same.
Mm-hmm.
That person. Hi, Chris. Shout out. you don't need to hide the name and all that.
Why are you going to know?
We were so conflict avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us. Imagine. Two people avoiding conflict. What gets resolved?
Nothing.
The problem just gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets bigger and bigger and grows.
Right.
And then you have to, once you try to address it, it's like this mountain of shit you haven't addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, avoidance really came up in my relationship because I was afraid that asserting myself meant that I was going to put myself in a space where I would be either rejected or shamed or ridiculed or humiliated.
For saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Imagine. How deeply that's internalized.
Mm-hmm. It's next level.
Mm-hmm. It's to the point where even in confrontation, you feel the emotion take you over sometimes. So it was really interesting. My relationships after that were definitely more communicative because I learned a lot more about myself in that relationship. And I think that's where relationships are great, is that they teach you about yourself and they kind of introduce you to your weaknesses and what you need to work on as a human being, whether or not you want to learn about that.
Right.
Any other examples of avoidance?
I feel like for me, avoidance was more like passive aggressive behavior. Like, there's something wrong. I'm not going to tell you what I'm thinking about or what that emotion is, but I'm going to make like little comments like, oh, you didn't do that. Or, you know, like little jokes that the other person, they're like, oh, okay, like she was just, but I'm like, I'm being very serious, but I don't know how to communicate that to you, that I'm being dead ass about the subject.
Right.
And it's like, how do you communicate to someone what your needs are when you're kind of like trying to figure out what are my needs? You know what I mean? And so I feel like passive aggressive behavior was like my thing. Yeah.
Mine too, but it was in stupid ways. It was like, oh, this person messages me now. I'm going to leave them on read and answer them in 5 hours. Let's see how that feels. Like, that was my logic. So in withdrawing my communication with that person, they would know how I would feel. So they would pry and be like, is everything okay? Instead of me being like, this is what it is. Oh, I'm so through playing those games. My gosh.
Those games.
Wow.
Those games are like silent treatment. I'm not going to talk to them for the next 24 hours. I'm going to post something on Snap and on my IG story so they know that I'm doing something. But I don't, you know, like these like
psychological games that you're playing with yourself most of the time because the other person doesn't
exactly know. And then you're asking them, okay, how was yesterday for you? Oh, I was, you know,
I was chilling.
I was chilling. And you're like, you didn't even notice that I was intentionally not speaking to you.
Too much. The mental illness in it is like, yo. But that like shows how deep like your past can influence how you interact in a new situation. And I remember one of the biggest things I had trouble with navigating was conflict. To me, conflict meant the end. So it's not like, oh, we're having a disagreement. To me, it's like, this disagreement is so huge. And because we're fighting about this means that we can't have a relationship together. That's it.
That's it.
Even if it was about food.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, conflicts are necessary.
It's natural.
Because I think people forget that you are a person with your own beliefs, opinions, worlds, experiences, interests, passion, hobbies.
Right.
And your partner is a separate individual with those same things of their own. And you both with these separate worlds are coming together to create a third world.
Right. Your own world.
Your own world.
And some of these things, they do coincide, but some of these things do, you know, collide, right?
Exactly. And I do remember in my personality course, one of my favorite profs, Marie-Use is the drag at the University of Ottawa, amazing professor, so different. And he said that, you know, when it comes to romantic relationships, there's a difference between you compliment me and you complete me.
Right.
There's two different things. And I've always internalized that and kept that in my mind. I'm not looking for my partner to complete me because I am whole on my own. And I have to remember that.
They're adding,
complementing. But of course, there are, you know, codependent relationships, which is what I was in that difficult relationship. It was very codependent because it was like, your emotion is my emotion. It was a lot of like really paying attention to the other person and getting influenced by everything they do. Not enough boundaries or separation.
But I feel like we were never like thought boundaries. Like, what did, you know?
Yeah, I didn't learn that till like, I don't know. Like 3-4 years ago, 2 years ago, like who knows? In Haitian families, you're not really allowed to have boundaries. You're not like really allowed to have yourself.
Your thing is my thing is our thing is my thing.
Yeah, yo.
So even like a physical boundary, right? Like rooms can't be locked, you know? Like even if it's your private room, it can't be locked. Someone could, your mom could walk in, no knock, you know, like it's her, it's their house.
It's like walking in after I take a shower. Oh, you're my child. I miss you.
But I need a separation.
But you can't leave me alone when I'm naked. Like, even for 2 minutes.
Like, so, I was going to going to say something. I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm not going to say it.
Dad, we still have a business to run. So, but I
think for my parents, the way boundaries kind of came up was more so, I guess the lack of boundaries was in the decisions I was making for myself, especially in terms of school. So I'm happy they weren't too in my face, because I did get privacy and I did get a sense of independence. But in some personal decisions, it was hard to get that space to make my own decision. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so yeah, so we spoke about passive aggression. Right. And I guess avoidance kind of maps onto kind of hiding that feeling, hiding your feelings, hiding how you're feeling about things. Mm-hmm. For me, the hiding was easier because in hiding my feelings, I didn't have to risk losing the relationship. Because in my mind, if I express my feelings, then the other person would be mad at me and they would want to end the relationship. So I would keep everything inside in order to save the relationship. And I'm like, hey, that's some bullshit. I could have spoken about all these things. And it wouldn't have broken down the relationship. But in my mind, due to my low self-esteem and my poor, poor, poor conflict avoidance skills, it was either we're in a relationship and it's happy all the time, or we have conflict and the relationship is O-V-E-R, over. And I'm just like, looking at myself now, I'm like, how did I have such drastic understandings of how the world operated?
Right. I feel like you were even more advanced than me because I was like, your feelings are my feelings. Mm. We're feeling things together. Mm. You know, like that together, forever, like walking in the sand.
I am
so
dead.
Like whatever is going through with you is also for me to deal with.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And so just to mesh.
I guess what are the ways that you kind of tackled these patterns that you had to kind of undo them or work through them?
I feel like by becoming a therapist, I've learned a lot about what boundaries are, about what health looks like as a person, what health looks like in a relationship. Mm-hmm. How do you set up certain expectations? How do you how do you compromise with someone without giving up what you want?
Right.
Right. I guess through reading, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. And going through a lot of these like workshops. What about you?
On a personal level though, it was more so about just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had
that's
a feeling.
So difficult.
No, not. Well, there are different levels of honesty. I'll get into that. So being honest with myself, first
right.
of all. When you experience something, ain't no need to shove it aside or say or pretend it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're feeling it is valid enough. You wouldn't be feeling it for no reason.
Right.
So I challenged myself to, it when I was feeling something, to just kind of sit in it and question it. Be curious about it.
Right.
Okay, you're angry. What happened before you got angry?
Mm-hmm.
What was it about the way this person said? What did that remind you of? How did that make you feel about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How did that make you feel about how much you think that person respects you?
Right.
So having the emotion, acknowledging it, sitting in it, questioning it, being curious, coming up with different hypotheses, kind of analyzing your emotions like you were a scientist.
Right.
Is it because of this, that? Mm-hmm. And then kind of framing it in a way where taking time to like understand what those are about, and then depending on the safety of the relationship, I felt quite
expressing
safe
it.
I felt quite safe with my past partners, so I knew I could go to them and sit with them and kind of like work it out what was happening. But I don't want to kind of underemphasize the importance of feeling safe in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel safe in your relationship and your partner is going to gaslight you or invalidate pop off, do all these things, you're not going to feel comfortable to ever express yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other thing.
And that's very important to feel safe.
Very important.
And it's not just physically safe, but like emotionally.
Psychologically safe.
Yeah.
So pay attention to those things. And if your partner does any of those things, that's noteworthy. We're not going to tell you what to do yet because we're just saying what to pay attention to.
Right.
And I think, being honest takes
a certain level of openness and, mm-hmm. and having a bit of openness towards the uncomfortable feeling of vulnerability. Like, right. I think Brené Brown is my favorite expert on that topic. She mm-hmm. talks about vulnerability very beautifully and how we as human beings are protected to hide ourselves or right. to protect ourselves from being exposed vulnerable. Just like any other animal, like my cat Rocket. I love you, bud. Just like my cat Rocket. If somebody accidentally steps on his paw, he hurts. He's like, ah, and then he hisses. Mm. So he's like, that's his self-protection, is to be angry, even though he's hurt. And that's for us as humans, what we do sometimes. Instead of saying, you hurt me, we're angry at you. Mm-hmm. And we show the anger first because the anger is protective. Yeah.
And maybe it's a easier emotion to...
It is.
You know, to relay.
Because anger is powerful. Anger mm-hmm. is power.
Right. Anger is power. Yeah.
Anger is and power.
And hurt is
weakness for a lot of people.
Weakness for a lot of people, yeah.
Even though it is not, that mm-hmm. is how a lot of people experience it and perceive it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people want to protect their pride. Right. And to be prideful is to be strong. And mm-hmm. to be strong is not to be weak.
Right.
Because to weak
it's
is
the opposite.
To be weak is to be vulnerable. There are so many things going on in terms mm-hmm. of how we understand emotions.
So the first step of like sitting in it, well, acknowledging it and then sitting in it is such a difficult thing for so many people. Because mm-hmm. that means that like, wow, like I'm not angry, I'm hurt.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. the thing is, just sit in your truth.
Yeah, that's more difficult than you think.
It is difficult, mm-hmm. but what you experience is real.
Right.
And because it is real, it exists in the world. And because it exists in the world, it is a truth.
Mm-hmm. It's your truth.
People need to start, whether it is through therapy or through self exploration and all that type of stuff, learn about the importance of what they experience on an internal physical level. Mm-hmm. Emotions are so physiological. You can't miss it. Yeah. When you're anxious, that's a whole body experience. Mm, when you're sad, it is too. Depression. Why do you think when people are depressed, they can't move? They don't have mm-hmm. energy. Emotions are so physical mm-hmm. and so physiological that they're hard to miss.
They really are.
And you do a disservice to yourself by shoving them aside mm-hmm. or coping with them in ways that are not helpful. Healthy. So please, if you ever have any concerns about how you manage your emotions or how you're able to recognize them in the world, please get assistance with it.
Mm-hmm. Any form.
Any form of mm-hmm. assistance. Whether
it starts somewhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whether it's sitting with yourself or Googling it or reaching out for help. Anything. Mm-hmm. Anything helps. But so what is anything else to add before we kind of end up for today?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered like a lot of things. But reflection question of the day. How is it that you cope with uncomfortable and negative emotions? Yeah. And is that helping you? Mm-hmm. Question mark?
In the long term, what are you doing about it?
Well, let's start with that first question. Mm-hmm. Is it helping you? How do you cope with emotions? How is it helping you? Question mm-hmm. mark. And if it isn't, you got a little more to reflect on. Mm-hmm. So with that, we leave you with...